Welcome back, everyone, to Racecast, your fourth, fifth favourite F1 podcast, probably.
I mean, if we're in the top 20, I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, so thank you very much if you are listening to us right now. Please do give us a 5-star rating, wherever that may be. Is it Spotify? Is it Apple Podcasts? Is it somewhere else? Probably not. But if it is, wherever you are, if it has the capability to allow you to give us 5 stars, then please do. Also, you can get involved with us with more frequent F1 updates on social media. Simply search Racecast on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter, and you shall be allowed to join the party. Now, you'll be very, very pleased to know that we're actually recording this in a different location today. So, silence. No squeaky chair. I actually listened back to some of last week's episode and I was like, fuck me, how do people listen to that? Like, the squeak is bad. So, yeah, executive decision. We've relocated.
You're going to change the chair, or are you just literally just going to...
The thing is, I've done everything. Like, I've oiled it and I don't know what it is. It's like an internal squeak that I can't get rid of. But that is that. This is the thing with F1, right? You have weeks where everything happens. You know, you've got so much going on. Like, you know, you might have a double header with like an ounce of news thrown in between. This previous week, nothing.
Not a lot has happened.
There has been absolutely nothing. I think there's been like one or two kind of like minuscule pieces of news. I think the one thing we can probably start with is the FIA have officially lowered the age requirements for obtaining an FIA super license to 17. They do have to have shown to be, I can't remember the exact words, essentially it's to show that they're experienced and competent driving single-seater race cars. This is obviously, in case you aren't aware, to open up the door for Kimi Antonelli to take his first ever F1 seat in a Mercedes.
Yeah.
Because it's not Carlos Sainz. He's explicitly been ruled out by Mercedes. And look, it's a kind of like F1's worst kept secret. Kimi Antonelli will be going to Mercedes. The age limit being changed has all but verified that, I think. It's as close as we're going to get to confirmation without the team confirming that it's happened.
I think it makes sense. And I think, you know, when you're looking at teams building for the future, Mercedes don't want to lose out on Antonelli. We've seen, you know, certain teams who drop down the pecking order. You look at Alpine, for example, lost out on Piastri. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying Mercedes and Alpine are in the same category, but if you don't take your chance with these drivers early on, they will go elsewhere.
Yeah. And well, I still don't think Kimi Antonelli would be in a position where, you know, if he didn't get the Mercedes seat next season, he's not going to be like, right, well, I'm going.
No.
Do you know, it's 17. The fact that he's even being considered for the seat, I think, makes him incredibly lucky, let alone the fact that he is going to have it. You know, think how long George Russell had to wait for that seat.
Yeah.
You know, he had to spend years driving in an awful Williams when everyone knew he was going to go to Mercedes. Everyone knew he was going to replace Valtteri Bottas. You know, it was, especially in that last season, it was very common knowledge, like even before it was announced. I think people were just more surprised it didn't happen
sooner in enough. Or yeah,
2021. You know, that he wasn't driving in that car. But
here's a question.
Yeah.
Say George Russell in that 21 season.
I think I was just thinking the same question.
Were you? Do you think Lewis would have won the championship if George Russell was his teammate and not Valtteri Bottas in the 21 season?
That's a difficult one. Well, ultimately, I don't think Max or Lewis would have got as many points.
Okay, so you think George would have potentially won a race?
I think George would have won some races.
Yeah.
The thing you have to consider is that there were tracks where, like, the Mercedes was noticeably better. There were tracks where the Red Bull was stronger. You know, I think, and this would apply the same either way, right? Lewis having a more competitive teammate would have hurt his championship more than it would have hurt Max's, because let's be honest, right? There was no one, absolutely no one, better to drive that Mercedes than Lewis Hamilton.
Completely agree.
But there would have been, George is a quick driver, you know. I think Lewis would have walked over him in the span of a season, but I do believe he would have won some races. They would have been at races where the Mercedes was the stronger car.
Yeah.
And that would have only really affected Lewis. Whereas, you know, you could say the same if Red Bull had a more competitive driver next to Max, it would have affected his season negatively, because at some of those, you know, again, Max would have walked over anyone going into that second seat, but there would have been races where someone else would have won a few races, I believe.
I'm wondering, because I thought about it, and I think George, do you think George potentially would have been more competitive and held up Max? And for example, you look at the Abu Dhabi race, okay, last race of the season.
Yep.
Valtteri Bottas was basically nowhere to be seen.
Yep.
Sergio Perez ultimately helped Max Verstappen as well in that race. Do you think if George Russell was in that Mercedes seat, he potentially could have come into play and it could have benefited Lewis on that day? I know hindsight's a great thing.
Yeah, and I think it's looking at it too, like, singularly.
Yeah.
You know, like, to say, oh yeah, well, George could have held up Max in Abu Dhabi. It's like, yeah, but George also could have taken, you know, 10, 20, 30 points away from Lewis that season.
Valid, yeah.
I mean, George was also a couple of years younger. Lewis and Max were clearly just in leagues, like a league of their own, the pair of them. So I think it could have made it interesting. But I think ultimately, this is why a lot of teams don't tend to have two competitive drivers in that sense, because it's all well and good having two drivers that are as good as each other, that are both world championship competing drivers, right?
Yeah.
But all it really does is affect the team's ability to have a driver that can win the WDC when there's another team that's able to compete with them. Obviously, it didn't matter in the era of Lewis and Rosberg, because the car was so much quicker than anyone else that they were only ever racing each other anyway. But yeah, I think in a battle, you know, Red Bull would have been in a much stronger position for the Drivers' Championship than Mercedes had they have had George Russell, I believe.
Yeah, no, valid point. Do let us know. I've got a bit of news. Zak Brown has come out. These are both Red Bull news, okay? I know Zak Brown is McLaren before anyone tells me, okay? Yeah. So Zak Brown has warned that Red Bull could lose further key staff. Obviously, as we know, Adrian Newey is leaving Red Bull. So he has been speaking recently, and he's come out and said it's probably the first domino to fall. My guess is that Adrian Newey leaving is not the last, based on the resumes that are flying around. Red Bull is a pretty toxic environment with everything that's been going on. There is more to come. He's gone on to say Adrian Newey leaving is a big deal, because I think a lot of people who are there because they wanted to work alongside him. I already made the comment that there are some CVs flying around, and there are always CVs flying around, but you can see a higher level of discomfort there. Obviously, that's quite an interesting one. Zak Brown to be fair to him, is always quite vocal when it comes to the Red Bull stuff. Mm. He's not afraid to say his piece. The question is we're starting to see, granted, I know Red Bull won the last race, Max Verstappen won the last race. And we did say if Max Verstappen wasn't in that Red Bull, they would not have won that race in Canada.
Correct.
Is this the downfall now of Red Bull? Obviously, they've had the strongest car for however long. Losing the likes of Adrian Newey is key. Christian Horner hasn't gone. Where does this team go now?
Well, you say this is the start of their downfall. Actually, is this just the start of mind games?
Hmm?
Zak Brown, well, I'm not necessarily calling him a liar here because, you know, I think everyone's seen the chaos that has ensued at Red Bull, right? But Zak Brown is essentially, and I think we can kind of say this with confidence now, about to enter his first ever battle for a title. You know, Red Bull and McLaren, I believe, are going to go head-to-head this year. Because the McLaren is now seemingly strong at every track.
Yeah, they've got it working and nicely.
We know the Red Bull is good at every track. The Ferrari is fastest round some tracks. Not consistent enough. And normally a lot better over one lap than a race. And the Mercedes, well, let's see if they can come into it. I think you and I both agreed they were actually the quickest car at Canada.
Yeah.
So Zak Brown is now having to deploy different kind of tactics that he's never had to use before. You know, he spent the last 3 years sort of defending why they're not good enough. You know, oh, we've got a plan, we're going to get better. Whereas now, they are good enough. So what's there to do? Well, disrupt the other team. Disrupt my rival.
But I don't think Zak Brown has changed his approach because he's always been very vocal. Right from the beginning, early with the Christian Horner stuff, he's always been very vocal with the cost cap gate.
Mm-hmm.
I personally don't think he is playing mind games. I think he's literally just stating facts. Actually, he's seeing a few more CVs flying around. He's seeing the actual disruption that is within that Red Bull team.
He absolutely may well be. You know, that's why I opened this with, I'm not saying he's lying here. I'm just saying it could be something that we consider, that we are going to be moving into. Mind games is not something we've had since 2021. Because they've not been needed.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, that no one's, other than obviously all the cost cap stuff that happened, but that wasn't mind games, that was playing on something. You know, this is Zak Brown talking about something that is physically impossible for any of us civilians to know about.
Yep.
So it's kind of like, yeah, is he, because it's also not possible for Christian Horner to know about this. Do you know what I mean? If his staff are sending out CVs to different teams, well, they're not telling him. They're not like knocking on his office and being like, oh, by the way, I just applied to Ferrari.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So this is all stuff that could unsettle him. And it's going to unsettle different team members because maybe they didn't know. And then they're thinking, oh, shit, well, we're losing Newey. Who else is looking to get out? Maybe I should look to get out. So I just think there are two ways to look at it. So I'm going to take it with a pinch of salt. I agree, Zak Brown is normally very outspoken and comes across very like honest and
yeah.
but I do genuinely believe there's a sprinkling of mind games starting here. That was my take on it.
Is Horner still the right man to lead this team forward?
I mean, people might disagree with this and fine, but yeah, absolutely. In my opinion, look, we've had our take on the Horner situation, right? Completely unprofessional. The man's got a wife, kids. You know, we established there was an existing connection between these two people. Whether you consider that an abuse of power or whatever, we don't actually know, right? How this relationship started could have had absolutely nothing to do with his position of authority. But then, you know, some of the messages got very weird and he got a little bit pushy. But that's not to excuse any of his behaviour. But in terms of leading the team, is he the right man for the job? Well, he's never done anything to prove he's not, in my opinion. Where he obviously has been with Red Bull from the very start. He's been the team principal since their inception, right? Made all the right calls. He's been surrounded by good people. Helmut Marko, who consistently... Well, though he's an arsehole, I will stress that. Consistently identifies world-class drivers.
Yeah.
Consistently, right? They win 4 world championships in a row with a driver that they identified. Sebastian Vettel came through their youth system, whatever the hell you want to call it.
Driver program.
Yeah, driver program. Then was able to eventually develop the car through a very, very difficult era where one team dominated incredibly heavily.
Yeah.
And, you know, Ferrari were then able to take it to Mercedes, but then Horner actually turned it around and then they became the competitor. They were then able to win a driver's championship because they'd been able to develop the car well enough. But they had also stuck behind Max Verstappen, brought him in at a young age, and the gamble paid off.
Yeah.
I mean, was it ever really a gamble? But you get my point. They then come into a new era of regulations, and they have absolutely... If you thought Mercedes were dominant, yeah, enter Red Bull 2023. Do you know what I mean? So, to me, what it looks like from the outside is that the team actually isn't unsettled. It doesn't look unsettled to me.
No.
They seem very cohesive on race day. They are still winning races. Max is still leading.
Still performing
still
on day.
Still leading the championship.
Yeah.
If they were going to get rid of him, they had to have done it at that point.
I agree.
Where everything came out. And if they had done so, I would have completely understood the decision. Do I think there's anyone better than him? No. Honestly, I think, you know, I even make comparisons to Toto. The way Christian Horner comes out and defends that team, defends his drivers, is incredible. Do you think if Max Verstappen had lost the title, like Lewis Hamilton did in 2021, do you think Christian Horner would have been partying later that night?
No, 100%.
Absolutely not. So, like him, loathe him. I know what side of that of the equator on that one I fall. Caught up in a scandal which could have absolutely ruined his career. It dragged his team. He could have been gone. But they stuck by him. Put all of that aside, right? He is the best team principal. And I think one of the bestest sport has ever seen.
Yeah.
And you know my thoughts on him.
No, that's very, very strong points. Do let us know on that. Other news, and again, it's still Red Bull. So as we know, over the years, we've seen Red Bull not really hesitate in getting rid of drivers or making changes. We've seen the likes of Alex Albon go very quick. We've seen the likes of Gasly go quick. However, the only person who never leaves is Sergio Perez.
Mm.
But Red Bull have made another termination this week. Do you know who?
What, they've terminated someone's contract?
Yeah.
No.
So they have terminated F3 junior driver, Casper... How do you say that last name?
Why do you think I'm... Casper Stuka? Stuka? Casper Stuka, I would say.
Okay, spot on. That's very good. So he has been let go by the team. And he only joined the Red Bull Junior program back in November. But already they don't think they've seen enough of him to actually continue with him. So they got rid of him. So this is what it makes me laugh is, I mean, this is a guy who has literally not really been there less than 8 months, 9 months. They got rid of him already. Why'd they get rid of these people so quick But they still keep Sergio Perez in that seat. It doesn't make any sense to me.
No, it doesn't make sense. And I know we've done this to the death. But even going back to my earlier point, I completely understand having one dominant driver, one world champion driver, and then another driver who's not at that standard. But that driver still needs to be good.
Yeah.
You know, Red Bull are at genuine risk of not winning the Constructors' Championship this year.
Yeah.
And that will massively affect them.
No, agree.
And it's not because of Max. It's not because of the car. It's because of Perez.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I was reading that apparently through merchandise sales, Perez brings in more than Max.
Really?
Yeah. The South Americans.
Okay.
So
that's interesting.
Whether it's got something to do with that, I don't know, because I can't imagine they're exactly short of merchandise sales.
Yep.
With Max Verstappen, who commands pretty much the biggest crowd at every race, I would say. In Europe. the Orange Army follow him everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, there are a few places he goes where, Silverstone, for example, the Americas don't really seem to like him that much.
No.
So it's an interesting one, but yeah, I'm convinced he's got dirt on them. He knows something that everyone else doesn't know and everyone else can't know.
When we know that he's still racing at the age of 43 in that Red Bull car, we know that he's got dirt.
Yeah. You know, he'll be racing alongside, I don't know, Yuki Tsunoda. Max will have retired after winning his, 12th championship.
In a row.
Yeah. So, I don't know, but you know, you can argue that it's the same with Danny Ric. It seems a little bit strange that they're sticking by him. So unless the sort of ethos of the team has just changed now.
Mm. It still doesn't make any sense to me.
It doesn't.
This may shock you, okay?
Nothing will shock me.
Logan Sargeant is running out of options for 2025.
Wow, I am shocked, actually.
No. See? I told you, it'll shock you.
But no, you know what I'm shocked about? I didn't realise he had any options. So the fact that he's running out of them really surprises me. He's got one option.
Yeah.
And that's to take holiday.
A long holiday. Yeah, I am not really surprised by that.
I mean, look, we spoke about this last week. His own team principal has openly come out and said Carlos Sainz is their number one choice. And I'm not being funny. I think there are probably a list of maybe 115 drivers that are in between Carlos Sainz at number one and Logan Sargeant at the bottom.
I agree. There is someone who is linked to Alpine on a shortlist. Can you tell me who?
Well, this does link to this. I'm not changing subject, I swear.
Okay.
Did you see that Carlos Sainz interview?
No.
Where he said 18 of the drivers on the current grid are going to be there next season. Yeah. There's only going to be two new drivers. Well, we know that Logan Sargeant is going. So who's the other one?
Say that again?
Carlos Sainz,
yeah,
said in an interview that there's only going to be two new drivers next year.
Jack Doohan?
Well, that's obviously not the name that has been linked with Alpine. But I'm pretty sure Jack Doohan is who is going to be in that Alpine seat. But it means one other driver is going, but it means we're likely to see who stay. Guan Yu Zhou can't stay.
Nope.
We know Logan Sargeant's going, but that means K-Mag's going to stay?
I hope not.
It means, is Bottas staying?
Well, hang on, two new drivers.
There's going to be 18 drivers that are racing now on the grid are going to remain.
Yep. So the two new drivers, who did you say?
Well, we know one of them is Kimi Antonelli.
Yeah.
So there's only one.
Ollie Bearman.
Well, Haas need a new driver.
Well, he's heavily linked, isn't he?
But they could get Ocon.
If they got rid of K-Mac, they have two seats. So Ollie Bearman and Ocon.
Yeah, okay, I got you.
Yeah.
But then...
Ah, I got you then, didn't I?
No, you didn't, because then who's coming into the Alpine seat?
Well, this is interesting. Gasly's there. There is links with... Bottas is heavily linked with Alpine.
Okay.
Along with Jack Doohan.
So then who does Sauber bring in?
Well, they got the Hülkenberg. The Hülkenberg.
The Hülkenberg.
It's all very confusing, isn't it?
Oh, no, Ruth's trying to get home.
What do you mean she's trying to get home? She is home.
Yeah, but you parked. Dodgy. But yeah.
That's an interesting one. Her parking's not very good.
I mean, in fairness, yours has made it quite difficult for her.
I don't think so.
I would say so.
What do you think of Bottas at Alpine? Does it make sense?
I
still think Jack Doohan makes perfect sense.
That makes
more
sense.
What have you got to lose?
But I think Sauber are best to... I think Sauber having a partnership of Bottas and Hülkenberg is actually a really solid foundation for a team that is coming into the sport in 2026.
I agree with you.
They need some form of stability, I think. You know, I know Hulk doesn't exactly bring a lot of change or anything, you know. It's not like they're rocking the boat with that, but I do think keeping Bottas is a good idea.
Yeah. Toto Wolff has also come out this week and said that Carlos Sainz deserves a top seat. However, he says Sainz will not be joining Mercedes in 2025.
And that's what I said earlier.
But this is what it baffles me, really. He deserves a top seat. He's not going to go to Red Bull. He's not going to go to Ferrari. He's not going to go to McLaren.
Nope.
And he's not going to Mercedes. So what's another top seat? Are you losing patience with Toto Wolff?
Well, no, I mean, I don't really... I mean, he's just making a point, isn't he?
Yeah, but where's the top seat then?
Well, no, he's just saying he deserves a top
seat. Yeah, but he can't deserve a top seat because you're not giving him opportunity.
Oh, what? So it's Toto's responsibility, is it?
Well, no, but what I'm saying is actually you've got an opportunity to sign a top driver.
Yeah, but they've clearly got a plan with Kimi Antonelli, so why would they do that? But then, what... I mean, just because he can't get him into his team doesn't mean he thinks that he doesn't deserve a top seat.
No, I agree. But...
He probably thinks that, I don't know, a handful of drivers deserve a top seat. But they've got their plan, haven't they?
Yeah, I don't know. For me, though, him going to Williams, I'm actually not too disappointed about.
I mean, if it happens.
Yeah. I actually think it'll be good. Should we have a look at Barcelona?
Yes.
Let me just get this open. Quite aggressive coming through your door, isn't she? Is she going to come in and be on the podcast?
No.
Should we get a fuse on Antonelli going to Mercedes?
No.
Not fine. Right, do you want the timings?
Yes. Well, I'm actually going to... I'm going to be 8 hours behind. 8 hours ahead, sorry. So, give them to
me. I'm not working this out for you.
No, it's quite simple mathematics. So,
FP1 on Friday, 12:30 till 1:30.
Nice. What time's that for me?
8:30.
Nice one.
Okay. FP2 on Friday evening, afternoon, is 4 till 5.
Nice.
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock?
4, sorry, no, 2 o'clock in the morning.
Really?
Yeah.
2 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, your time. You said you're 10 hours ahead?
Yeah, no, 8 hours.
Oh, midnight then, sorry.
You lie, you know I didn't say it.
No, I thought you said 10 hours.
How come you got the last one right then?
Yeah, because my math's not very good. FP3 on Saturday is 11:30 till 12:30.
Yep.
Qualifying on Saturday is 3 till 4.
Mm-hmm.
And race is going to be 2 p.m. on Sunday.
Ooh, so a 10 p.m. race.
Yeah. That's quite... Will you stay awake for that one?
Yeah, for sure.
Little quiz. You like the quizzes. DRS zones, how many are there?
Two.
When was the first Grand Prix held?
1954.
1991. Number of laps.
Really?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. Number of laps. 58.
66.
I was close.
And lap record held by who?
That's a good question. It's held by Sir Lewis Hamilton.
Nope.
Damn it.
Lap record as to you was last year.
Last year?
Yep.
Charles Leclerc.
No. There's only one dominant car last year.
Yeah. Max Verstappen with a 1:23.10.
A 1:16.3.
Not far off.
Not close at all.
1:23.10. That would be a 1:24. I meant like a 1:23.10.
Some of the talking points. Ferrari obviously had a very difficult time in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Can they turn it around?
Yeah, they'll.
Personally, I think I agree with you.
I expect to see all four teams fighting up at the front. Yep. I think Mercedes, you know Mercedes are back, right?
Are they?
And I know you don't like me using this optimism, but I have proof.
No.
Do you want to hear my proof?
What's your proof?
It's undeniable evidence that Mercedes are back, right?
Yeah.
This was just 2 days ago, 2-3 days ago. Red Bull questioned the legality of Mercedes' front wing. It's confirmed. As soon as Mercedes get competitive, Horner gets on the phone, turns on the crocodile tears, and that's it. They've got something illegal on their car. As soon as anyone can... It's only Mercedes. As soon as Mercedes can match the Red Bull,
yeah,
it's illegal. But the Red Bull, I mean, they can have a rocket ship for 3 years.
But no, nothing illegal with that.
Nothing illegal, no. But as soon as Mercedes even get a sniff of being quit, illegal. And that is why I know we're back.
2026 is obviously looking very strong. Mercedes have obviously discussed that they are looking very strong.
Yeah.
For 2026. They're really confident in their power unit.
Mm-hmm.
It's really difficult. Are you excited about the new 2026 regulations? I mean, the cars look so much smaller, don't they? They look like an F2 car.
Yeah, but they're not that much smaller.
They look like F2 cars. The actual design.
Am I looking forward to... No, to be honest. I don't really like the idea of this like power boost bullshit to overtake. Like I prefer the idea of the aerodynamics,
yeah,
being used for the overtake, because you know, over these past 3 years we've seen Red Bull have like an incredibly efficient DRS system. That's something that's engineered, that's something that's required brain power.
Mm.
Intuition, and it's not something that you're going to require if it's just oh yeah, every team has a power assist. So yeah, right,
because DRS is DRS completely gone.
DRS will be gone. Yeah,
mad.
Yeah,
I don't know how I feel about that.
No,
I didn't think I would like DRS when it first was.
Well, but it did make a difference.
It makes a massive difference. I don't know. Guys, let us know. Are you going to miss DRS? I don't know if I don't know how I feel about it.
At the moment, though, teams are worried about these car regs.
Yeah.
Because they think the cars are going to be too fast in a straight line and too slow in the corners.
What's the point?
Yeah, so I think they're going to get reworked anyway, and
yeah,
and they'll change. I'm sure 100 times before 2026.
Well, we know one team will just be dominant, because that seems to always be the stage where whenever you get a new regulations, one team actually is ahead of the curve.
Yeah, why is it just never like, oh, every team's done well.
Yeah.
We don't know who the quickest car is.
No.
That would be nice. But
that would be very nice. Top three for this weekend's Spanish Grand Prix.
I'm predicting a Lewis Hamilton win.
I'd love to live in your head.
Max Verstappen P2.
Yeah.
And George Russell P3.
Both Mercs in the top three.
Mm.
You don't seriously mean that.
The Mercedes was genuinely the quickest car in Canada.
Yes, granted. But we know Canada is a freak track in the year.
Mm.
Right. I'm going to give you the opportunity. Do you want to retract your statement and go for another top three? You're sticking with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look, right. If Red Bull hadn't questioned the legality of that front wing, I would have had Max and the two McLarens. Maybe a Ferrari sprinkled in there.
Yeah.
But as soon as they said it was illegal, I knew we were back. And there's only one man to take the win.
Look, no one wants that more than me. I would love to see that. But I just don't believe it. Right, my top three, okay? I'm going to go Lando Norris this weekend. Max Verstappen. Leclerc.
Interesting. Not bad. I think that's great.
I need to see consistency here from Mercedes to get on the hype.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, it's a bold call.
Bold call? I'd say stupid call.
Well, I might be the one laughing.
You may be.
Come Monday morning.
Your fantasy, did you change it?
Haven't, but I might bring the Mercedes boys into it now. I am going to have to make some changes because at this point, I'm considering getting rid of Alex Albon. He's
not picking up points, is he?
He's actually costing me points. But yeah, I'll update the Instagram if there's any changes in my team. For now, it's staying the same. Also, I'm obviously not getting rid of Max because Max is the safest bet you can possibly have, but Leclerc, Ferrari, I might swap Ferrari out for Mercedes.
Yeah.
And Albon, yeah, I don't want to get rid of him, but he is costing me points. Well, I've already just made that swap.
Can I ask some advice then?
You want advice from me?
Well, no, I'm asking the listeners. So, yeah, just you. Obviously, last time round, I got minus 20 points.
Yes.
I have had to change my team quite drastically.
Mm-hmm.
So, I've got Max Verstappen in there.
Mm-hmm.
Double points. I've added Carlos Sainz.
Mm-hmm.
I've just replaced Alex Albon with Pierre Gasly. Because mm-hmm. actually looking at it, he's had 41 points so far, Alex Albon. Do you know Joel's had 42 points?
Yeah, I don't understand how the point system works. It's kind of fucked up sometimes.
Tsunoda I've got, and Hülkenberg. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So beforehand, I had Ferrari as my constructor,
mm-hmm.
and I had the RB. I've changed that to McLaren and Sauber.
Sauber?
Mm.
Really poor choice.
Well, it is, but I felt McLaren has more chance to get me points with Piastri and Norris being relatively consistent.
True. But can you afford Williams?
No. Well, because Williams, they, what, okay.
Yeah, the problem is Logan Sargeant DNFs a lot.
Well, and also,
and that's like negative points.
So if you're looking at it, so Sauber in Canada got 13 points. Monaco they got 12. United States they got 29 points. So actually, if you're looking at it, actually where you pick between, they've had 65 points, Sauber.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Williams have got 1 point.
Yep.
So yeah. I would say it was a safer bet going for Sauber than it is actually Williams.
Well, I've made some changes in this in the meantime.
What, since we've been talking?
Yeah.
Okay, that's big.
I've got rid of Leclerc.
Ooh.
And I brought in Lewis Hamilton.
Okay.
I got rid of Ferrari and I brought in Mercedes.
Ooh. You're really all in on this, aren't you?
I am. I have the RB as my other. I got rid of Valtteri Bottas.
Okay.
And brought in Yuki Tsunoda.
Tsunoda's a shout.
Yep. Great shout.
Because when you look at it, I mean, in Canada, he didn't get any 0 points, but he's had 7, 4, 23. He's consistently picking up points, yeah.
So, and he normally always makes it into Q3, I swear. He's, you know, if there's a driver, best of the rest,
yeah,
it's Yuki Tsunoda.
It is. Hulk is generally picking up good points.
Yeah, I've got Hulk. Hulk and Max are my other two,
yeah.
And Albon.
It's just my constructors. I'm not sure. I mean, you look at McLaren in the last five races, 57 points, 56, 64, 50 and 48.
Mm.
They relatively pick up good points. But when you look at Ferrari, 68, 51, 79, 74. I mean, realistically, I could have stuck with Ferrari, but... Oh, it's a tough one. But now I'm questioning, should I be adding Lewis Hamilton into the mix? That's the question, isn't it? No, I think I've got to stick with my guns. I'm not getting on the hype just yet.
Well, I mean, on the basis that Lewis is going to win the race this weekend, it does make sense.
Who would you go with more, Sainz or Piastri?
Piastri. I think the McLaren's a better car, generally.
Because when you're looking at it, Sainz has got 190 points, Piastri 166 points. I think, do I go Lewis? No, but he's only got 122. It's very difficult because the only reason I'm going for Carlos Sainz because it gives me that mixture. Because I've got McLaren as my constructors.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to overload it with McLaren.
Mm-hmm.
So if I go with Sainz...
Yeah, if you go all in on one team, then you rely difficult. Too heavily on them.
Sainz or Hamilton?
Lewis. But actually, no, I'd go Sainz.
Yeah.
Because I don't want you to get the points.
So I've changed Tsunoda, Albon to Gasly for this weekend.
Nice.
I've changed a few bits. I think that's the actual end of the podcast. There's not actually loads to talk about this week, which is a bit bizarre.
It's been a quiet week, but hopefully... Oh, well, next week I'm not here.
No.
So there'll be no RaceCast.
But I'll be posting stuff out on social media anyway next week, so stay tuned for that.
Yep.
My birthday next week.
That's on. 40th?
30th.
30 what? So 7, is it?
No. 36.
Fucking hell. God, I mean, I wasn't far off. You said no, like I had just stabbed you or something.
Well, I'm not 37, am I?
Close, though. Really close.
England, next year you will England be. Are playing on my birthday.
What day is that?
Tuesday.
Nice. What time's kickoff?
I think it's 8 o'clock, I think.
Oh. That's going to be, what, 4
a.m.? Actually, you got 5 o'clock kickoff this Thursday, but you'll be flying...
Yeah, it kickoffs half an hour before I land. So I'll be able to watch it in the air for 30 minutes.
Not a dedicated fan.
It's not like... I'm praying that we get delayed.
Well, so you can just continue to watch it on...
Yeah.
But yeah, have a great time.
Thanks.
Do get in touch. Follow us on all social media. And we'll be back in 2 weeks' time. Luke will have a... Potentially have some stories for us.
Sure, I will.
Take it easy and see you later. Bye bye.